Good morning, honorable members. Time now is 10 o'clock.
Recording in progress.
Can I give 1 minute to everybody to start being ready? Just a minute, just to allow everybody to focus and be ready to start our session. Thank you. Yes, honorable members, let me take this opportunity to officially open a meeting of the Portfolio Committee for Public Enterprise on this day of the 21st September 2022, 10 o'clock on Wednesday, and we welcome everybody. The Department of Public Enterprises with the team of the SAA, which will be presenting us with the financial statement 2018. I think we're all aware why we'll be receiving that statement today. And also, we would like to welcome you, honorable members. This is your meeting, and all our guests, including the officials or the staff of our committee that will be helping us in the conduct of this meeting. I will, before I specifically welcome the certain important individuals in this meeting, let me take this opportunity to give to the acting secretary of the committee, Yandi Satele. Can you give apologies?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. The apologies that I received from the portfolio committee is from Honorable Piri and Honorable Ngwangwa. The apologies that I received from DPE is the minister. He is attending the cabinet meeting that is dealing with the load shedding, and the deputy minister is not feeling well. The delegation from DPE is the acting DG, Miss Molisane, and the DDG Advocate Makobe, and the Chief Director, Mr. Bessa. And then the delegation from SAA, its interim chair / CEO, Professor Lamola, and interim CFO, Mr. Ntlontlo. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Tere. Those are the apologies, honorable members. And without wasting time, because apparently we don't have any figure from the shareholder.
Sorry, Chair. It's Farad Esak. I apologize for intervening. There was an apology by Honorable Khalib Karchalia, who's abroad. I never heard the apology called. I apologize for intervening. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Mania. The apology is noted. Because there is no deputy minister nor the minister, we'll have to go to the department, the acting DG, to just make a short overview and give it to the SAA group, whom I think they would be responsible to make this for their presentation. Or if it will be the department, we'll get it from you guys. What are you up to? Let me give you acting DG.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. Today, the presentation will be led by SAA, and we've got the interim CE, and we also have the CFO from SAA. And as a department, we will be assisting the SAA team in terms of the questions that the Honorable House will be asking that will be directly from us. And as indicated earlier, our political principals, unfortunately, as indicated, the DM is not well and the minister is in cabinet, and we are quite happy to assist in terms of taking any questions that need clarification from the side of the department. With not too much time to be wasted, can I hand over to the interim CE to then take us through the presentation? Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you. CE, can you go ahead, please?
I think, CE, you are muted. Thank you.
Oh, my apologies. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to appear again before the committee on this special and important agenda item. And also thank you to the acting DG. Chairperson, the matter that is to be considered today is firmly within the purview of the Board of South African Airways, which is will be here represented by the CFO, who is a director as such. I must say, Chairperson, that my appearance here is more for me to give a physical, personal apology. We as South African Airways have been summoned by the International Air Services Licensing Council. We're having a very important meeting that is happening in an hour and a half. It's a physical meeting that I have to lead, but I have deemed that this particular agenda before the portfolio committee is so important that I should not just send an electronic apology. The CFO, Mr. Mthonto, will do the presentation and deal with all related matters. I'm going to request the chairperson that during the course of that, if I could please be excused. Thank you, Chairperson, as I hand over with your permission to Mr. Mthonto.
Chairperson, I have a presentation that captures the key messages that are coming out of the financial statements for 2017-2018. I'll show the presentation. It's going to shortly be on the screen. I'm hoping the members of the portfolio committee can see the presentation. Chair, can I get a confirmation?
Not yet, sir.
Okay, thank you. Can you see it now?
No, maybe the administrator will need to assist.
You asked the administrator to share with you.
Yeah, can the administrator assist?
It appears now. Thank you.
Okay. Can we go to next page? Thank you. So in terms of the preamble or key messages that are in the financial statement, I think it's quite important to make the statement up front that the interim board that is serving at SAA is a board that has been brought in at the tail end of the business rescue. It was not necessarily part of the year in question, which is 2017-2018. The management and the board that was in office left when they had substantially or almost at the tail end of having prepared the financial information that today forms part of these financial statements. What is also important is to highlight the fact that the audit from an external audit point of view had performed this audit and what was glaring at the time was issue of going concern. You will see that the financial statements are showing that the balance sheet was in deficit at the time, and they then raised the issue of going concern. They've had to pull out, and they continued to do this audit in 2021 and then concluded in November 2021 with the AGM that was held in February 2022. So with regards to audits for 2018-2019, 2020-2021, and 2021-2022 are currently in progress by the Office of the Auditor General. And the projection is that those audits will be concluded in around the last quarter of this financial year 2023. It's important just to give a little bit of a context as we start delving into those financial results. Move to page slide three. Slide three, the business was heavily in debt, with debt position of 8.4 billion at the time, resulting in annual financing costs of 1.4 billion. That level of interest charges payable because of various loans that the business had raised is impacting the financial results. You'll see when we get to the income statement how this is negatively impacting the financial performance. Also, you will also note that during this financial year, there was an amount of 10 billion recapitalization that came into the business. In part 7.4 billion to repay some of the loans, and 2.6 billion, which was to cover working capital or to cover operations. The important point is that the balance sheet was in deficit or was negative to the extent of 13.3 billion, meaning that the liabilities exceeded assets by that magnitude, total liabilities being 26.7 billion and assets only sitting at 13.4 billion. And therefore, there was a significant going concern issue. And of course, it had cash, but also you must understand that cash was generated, but also Yuan would argue that it was also partly a part of what came from the state, because there was a 2.6 billion that was advanced as a part of the 10 billion fund operations. The group turnover was at about 29.4 billion, really 29.4 billion, quite a substantial number, and with operating costs at 32 billion and resulting in a loss, which that loss can be broken down into distinct categories. If one looks at the operating loss before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization, that loss was 2.6 billion. It's also an important measure to say how much is coming out of operations really. And if you also take those into account, those items, just leave out the finance costs, that loss sits at 4 billion. Otherwise, the overall loss is 5.4 billion. Move on to the next page. Then the other important measures which are in the financial statements are those measures which are seeking to demonstrate to what extent has the business met the expectations by the shareholder, which are sitting as part of performance information. What is clear is that a number of key measures were not met, as detailed in the director's report. And the other point is that the auditors have raised a number of issues, as those issues that may pertain to fixed assets, irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, as well as various other issues pertaining to other general ledger accounts. The other important point is that there were measures, as we can see, even though as this leadership have come almost not so long time ago, but we could see that there were a number of measures that were attempted to be implemented, as they may relate to closing the critical skills gap at the time, revising the long-term turnaround strategy, and embarking on restructuring. But of course, these measures could not be really be fully sustained, because business shortly thereafter went into business rescue, but also is a part of a context that there was generally a weak governance structures in the environment, and which is captured broadly and in detail in the Zondo Commission report. I think that's another context that is kind of one sees. If we move to next slide. The next slide captures the summary of some of the elements that I've indicated, that the turnover was 29.4 billion against the 30.7 billion in the previous year. The operating costs were at 32 billion against 33 billion. Then you would look at the net position thereafter, and then also look at depreciation, impairments, and then the net gain on disposal of losses on write-offs of property, plant and equipment, and then gives a net position of about 3.9 billion, and then got financing costs, which I've detailed or discussed a little earlier, of about 1.4, but in actual fact it's 1.385, rounded up to 1.4, a net loss position of 5.4 billion against the 5.2 in the previous year, and the taxation expense, and then overall loss of 5.4 billion against the more or less 5.4 billion the previous year. Then the next page, next slide. Next slide, slide 7. The next slide captures the cash position and the movements around cash. The net cash used in operating activities, 2.5 billion, inclusive of the 1.4 as it relates to the interest. There was capital expenditure of 639 million. And there was a shareholders contribution of 10 billion, which I referred to earlier on. There is a net long-term borrowings repaid, which was the 10 billion was to enable the repayment of the loans, which was duly done. And then net decrease in overdraft for the year overall, it's 144 million. There was also a foreign exchange loss of about 442 million because of various balances that are sitting and that have a foreign exchange exposure. Moving to slide 8, I will touch on these items, which is saying that the important point is that 2017-2018 was done from a final compilation of the financial statements and the audit processes. Took place in towards the end of 2021 and resulted in the AGM, which was on the 25th of February 2022. And then the audits for the subsequent years is underway as we speak. And the execution of the audit process and its conclusion is expected by the last quarter of 2023. Those are the key messages, Chair, and the committee that are part of those financial statements. As I have summarized them, we are happy to take any questions. And also in conjunction with DPE, who also have maybe, of course, we fully appreciate and understand the issues pertaining to the numbers, but of course, some of the questions may pertain to them. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mchonsho. Honorable members, that is the presentation of 2018 financial statement from SAA. And I would like also, before I give you honorable members, and I've been noticing since the previous portfolio committee that the attendance is becoming poorer and poorer of the core members of the committees. And it's a bit frustrating from where I am sitting. And I hope whips of all the parties will have to do their work in terms of making it a point that members prioritize their committee. I just received for the first time that actually Honorable Kachalia is overseas. Of course, there is an alternate that is there. And also, Honorable Kwankwa, Honorable Butelezi, just have permanent apologies. ACTP disappeared some time ago. I think we need to start dealing with those problems so that we are in a position to execute our responsibility. We won't be able to execute our responsibility quite effectively if most of us as members of this committee will miss some information, some important information, especially if there is a presentation that will be coming from entities that we're supposed to play our oversight role on. I was just raising that, honorable members, by passing, and hope that it's not going to be the culture to have people coming to the portfolio committee on their will or when they feel this or when they have interest on a particular matter. But honorable members are doing their work as per the constitutional obligation. Okay. Let me start with the Honorable Dlamini.
Thanks, Chair. Morning, colleagues. I think we can only accept and welcome the report as presented. I don't have much to say except that it is not something to take lightly that we don't have financial reports of the previous years. We would have felt much better had we had those, but now that we don't, it's fine. We'll soldier on. I think in terms of our work as a portfolio committee, we are in a crisis. I think we need to find a way to get ourselves out of this crisis. And I would think that the meeting that the colleague that apologized now is going to allow SAA to access international routes, which would be most welcomed. I think I'll stop there, Chair. Thanks.
Okay. Honorable Isaac.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson, fellow colleagues, and our guests this morning. Chairperson, with due respect, and I say again with absolute due respect, this presentation remains just a tick box exercise. When the report is four and a half years old, nearly 5 years old, and I mean, so much has happened, Chairperson, in the interim. So, you know, the issues that are at stake, and I think what we should really be discussing instead of looking at just a five-year presentation of financial statements, with so much having transpired, I mean, the issues that we should be interrogating is since SAA has resumed operations, you know, what are the operating losses then thus far since it has resumed operations? What are the operating losses until the 31st of August 22? We need to talk current terms, current facts. The issues, with due respect again, is SAA compliant with all statutory obligations, Chairperson, such as VAT, PAYE, UIF, employee fund contributions, etc. These are the things I think this committee needs to grapple with and understand so that we could interrogate and be able to make quality and quantitative recommendations. The issue again is what is the source of and the amount of working capital is SAA using to keep operations going currently? I must ask, if you would allow me, Chairperson, what is the status of the Airlink claim, the legal action for payment of Airlink ticket sales for revenue that was collected by SAA and not paid to Airlink? That in itself is another issue. What is the status of a buyer for Mango? We had the Mango presentation last week. I tried to interrogate that. Nothing much came out in terms of that question. The question I must also ask is, why did SAA employees get special treatment with a massive severance package, Chair? But SAA Express and Mango Airline employees are not getting the same treatment. These are the things we need to understand. There are probably a lot more issues, but you know, when you're interrogating a five-year-old financial statement report, and so much has happened and is still transpiring, I need to understand that, you know, I mean, like there's the Takatsu issue, which is taking 51% shareholding. This announcement was made some 15 months ago in June 21, if I'm correct. I mean, we need to get, as a committee, we need to get a copy of the agreement and a report on what has been done and why is it taking so long. These are the issues, Chairperson. I think if we talk SAA, then these, in my opinion, are the issues that we should be interrogating and asking and getting concrete replies on. I'll stop there for now, Chairperson, and I thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
Oh, I'm saying if Honorable Mawato is not here, is Honorable Komani here? Meaning both are not here, because Honorable Komani is an alternate of Honorable Mawato. Then we leave them there. We go to Honorable Mkwanazi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to you, and good morning to honorable members. Good morning to the team, SAA and DPE. Honorable Chairperson, I think I will make a follow-up from Honorable Lamini that you must welcome the report. But Chair, also, if I'm short of the right word, if we can be taken through on the current issues that are currently happening at SAA, I think that will be much appreciated and appropriate for this meeting, because there is a lot of latest development, and I think the committee needs to be informed and be put in the same level of understanding by SAA. But Chair, if the DPE, the delegation led by the acting DG from the DPE, if they can talk to the timelines of a strategic equity partner, the finalization around that area and the details around that area, I'll be happy, Chair, if the department can update the committee on that issue and on the necessary regulatory approvals that need to be received and around all that. I'll be happy, Chair. For me, for now, that would be my take. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mkhwanazi. There's no Honorable Buthelezi, there's no Honorable Kwangwa. Then let me go to Honorable Malinga.
Thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to yourself, members of the portfolio, SAA, and the DPE, and also the committee. I hope I am audible, Chair.
You are audible.
I don't know what is to welcome with this presentation. I don't think it's what we wanted as the portfolio committee, such a presentation. But Chair, let me just ask the generic questions. I just want to check, Madam Chair, with DPE, is government still the major stakeholder in this entity? Entity. And Chair, what are the measures in place for the audit finding of 21-22 financial year? And Chairperson, I just want to check, is the strategic equity partner now on board? And what is their stance on the internal audit of this entity? And Chairperson, given the fact that the people who did not submit the last financial reports, I think from 2017 up until, was it last year, if I'm correct? I stand to be corrected, Chair. How are we going to get these financial reports? Because it's not correct to oversee an entity that to submit financial reports and expect us to do the proper oversight, Chair. Chairperson, there is also mentioning of the fact that on the 23rd of June 2022, it was reported in the media that investment firm Toto Investment Holding has filed documents in the Cape Town High Court against government sale of SAA. Maybe if DPE can take us through. The company is claiming that the process lacked transparency and that the firm was unfairly excluded from the deal. Given this litigation against the strategic equity partner, how will this affect the deal going forward? It seems that we are dancing in the same sport, Chair. So if we also have litigations, it means we are going nowhere slow. If maybe DPE can clarify that. And also, Chair, that the National Treasury has withdrawn its approval of the selling of the 51% of the shares of SAA to the strategic equity partner, stating that the sale still represent a contingent liability to the fiscus. How will this affect the finalization of this deal? Which brings me to the first question, Chair. Is government still the major stakeholder here? I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Malinga. Honorable Kumede.
morning to yourself. Good morning to everyone on the platform, to DPE as well as SAA. You know, I concur at times with Honorable Malinga in the sense that, yes, all of us, we are really caught in a vortex. My plea, perhaps directed to the DPE, please, DPE, may you get us at least one flying the skies. You know, Mango seem to have gone. Express is gone. SAA, we are just swimming in the mud. If you swim in the mud, it means you can't just move freely. At least one. This is South Africa. We cannot miss at least one to say that is a South African plane that's flying. Last time when we were debating, no, not debating, just asking, considering the input from Mango, there was a comment that was made that at times, even, you know, there is some politics that is at play here. I remember SAA proposed an amendment that Mango cannot go to the skies because the equity partner was not on board, right? As a result, that was deferred, the consideration of whatever that was being considered on that day, and then did not happen. And today, you find a similar situation with SAA. It looks as if the equity partner is not on board. It's definitely not on board. So there was that politics that if Mango takes first and being left behind, so Mango will may get sort of a better opportunities. I would in fact request that let's talk these things and let's talk them seriously. Let's treat ourselves as a team. You know, not a situation where a man, if a man goes for a fall, we all give a push. This time around, our effort should be saving a man that goes for a fall. Chair, perhaps the other question I would like to ask is there any cutoff point or date for the submission of a financial statement? If yes, there is one, what's the value of perhaps the statement that's being given to us today? Because it looks as if, I'm not sure whether it will just be a report for noting, or it's a report that will form part of the records. You know, there are so many, as you hear, I think it was Honorable Dlamini, tells us that there are about, there are five consecutive years the report hasn't been forthcoming. So now there is one that's coming, and the four, we are told that it's on the way. So what will be the value of all these reports? Whether they came late, can you bring a report, a financial report after 20 years? It will just be a report. And what's the value? My interest is, what's the value of this report? and one is interested to know whether is there any cutoff date for the submission. Chair, another one is SAA. Will SAA have an alternative way? Alternative plan, if I may put it like this, because to me, when you read, when you understand the presentation, it looks as if sibambutala kulasugelutala kuche indesengeke sifike nje. I'm trying to say, one, Treasury said it's no longer going to fund SAA. Right? And secondly, we're saying Treasury is not happy with the process that's being engaged, whether it's triggered by the fact that we are the minority or not the minority, but it says it's not happy, it's withdrawing from the engagement or the process. Thirdly is Tito, as Honorable Malinga raised, is as well taking us to court. As much as we are not worried that much about Tito, but I'm worried about the situation with Treasury, that if Treasury is no longer willing to assist us, then it's a big challenge. And Treasury, not at all happy to support the process of an equity partner. Then what will be the status? What next for SAA? Should all this fail? What's a leeway for SAA? Chair, I understand the situation that, yes, we are told that the other partner is 51% and we are 49. I'm worried about the expertise that some of them we may have lost. Has SAA kept some, that should it happen that SAA comes back, at least those people with experts, with expertise, will then be brought in a sense of a kind of a retention. Like, yes, we understand that perhaps the bigger person with the shareholder may have a final word, but in this instance, I want to believe that with the experience of running SAA, SAA will be given that kind of respect that you bring some on board. Do we have, or during the resignations, did we lose all of them? What is the understanding? Are we going to go back and reappoint those people who would have left us to join perhaps wherever they would have gone to? So that's that for me, Chair. Otherwise, there is a lot that one may want to understand about the situation. But the only thing that can help us, Chair, currently is for, one, I'll put DPE first, as much as SAA comes secondary. But to me, to all of us, they will be the same. Can they be honest to us so that at least we understand, we defend what is defendable, and perhaps try and do whatever is necessary for us to assist? It's not really the way of saying that you want to get off this, and then you know you've been to the committee, at least I'm off this meeting. No, Ours, we want a process. We are told that here is the SAA, and we want to see it on the on perhaps on the sky, flying there, and we'll be happy. But if there are things that in fact are challenges, I know it's a very difficult this thing. These are hurdles that the SAA as well as DPE, including ourselves as well as the PC, because what are we going to say after 2024 when other members come in? They will ask us, what did you do? Why did you not challenge 1, 2, 3? So help us then to be in a position to address all these things. Because at the end of the day, I think the chair will definitely come back to you. He needs to have a handover to the incoming committee to say, this is thus far we have gone. Please take it forward. And you can't go there and say, hey, I've got nothing to report on. You'll see what you can do. Otherwise, Chair, all of us were frustrated. All of us, we don't know where to go. We can't say whether SAA is there, the equity partner is there, and we are just in the dark. If they may help us perhaps clear that, you know, that will be fine with us, all of us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kumede. I think it's Honorable Shabalala now.
Thank you so much, Chair. Good morning to yourself, members of Parliament, but also members of the SAA, if not executives. Chairperson, you know, I don't know, because we don't have executives in the meeting. Can I just check, Chair, before I speak, is the acting DG of Public Enterprises here? I'm trying to check who's senior in the DPE that we have in the meeting.
She is here.
Okay, thank you so much, Chair, for that clarity. And for our purpose, Chair, I think from where I'm as a whip of the ANC, you've challenged us to say, let's look into the attendance of these meetings and ensure that we try to keep up with the work, and we might be engaged in other meetings, but we need to put priority especially to this meeting. So I want to perhaps align with your sentiments and say yes, indeed, Chair, I share what you are sharing with us, that it can really get frustrating when members are not attending. But I also move, Chair, that let's consider having this meeting physical now, a hybrid session in Parliament. So members of Parliament should be in attendance in the hybrid meeting. Then we can have officials in the virtual, Chairperson, just for consideration. But also to say, ngiyacela Chairperson, ungasang note after uGumede, ngicela ubaba uGumede abe in the middle somewhere. I'll tell you understand why. Firstly, Chair, as we welcome the presentation, I think we need to understand that this is an overview. This is more, it's an account of the outstanding annual financial statements of SAA. And the period is 2017-18. We're in 2022, colleagues. So this is 2017-18 financial year account. And the airline was unable to submit this financial statement as it was not, it was still a going concern at the time when we needed this statement. And submitting this financial statement at that time would have meant the liquidation of the company. And you would also, I mean, appreciate that the company had to go, or rather since underwent in a business rescue process, which saw the restructuring of the airline. And this is where we are, colleagues. But also the fact that there was this continuous financial losses and liquidity challenges, that's when government took a decision that SAA will then be put into business rescue, and the majority stake, a majority stake in the airline will then be sold, hence that 51% that we saw and the introduction of the Takatso issue. So the airline was then placed under this voluntary business rescue in December, colleagues, 2019. And in September 2020, the SAA was placed in the care and maintenance by the business rescue practitioners, BRPs, by the 13th of April 2021. And I hope colleagues are following me. Therefore, that meant that there was an interim board that was appointed. So the first question I have would be that, and I hope Professor Lamola is in the meeting as well, would be that, I mean, this business rescue practitioners, colleagues, I understood that they were given over 10 billion to do this work. And I still have an issue with that, that the amount that was given to this business rescue practitioners, I mean, how was it used? Can we find a way to get an account? Now I need the SAA to really try, as much as they don't, the business rescue don't report to you, but this is public money. We need to know, is the taxpayer's money, what is this money that was given to business rescue practitioners used for, colleagues? If you can give me that, you know, comfort of understanding this matter to its conclusion, and you would understand why I'm raising that, because I mean, the business rescue practitioners, I mean, they are meant to do two functions, obviously, to come up with a plan and also be able, whether when we liquidate, what then happens. But I've not heard anything that speaks to that. Secondly, Chair, can we know this MPs? There has been lots of changes in the SAA, and this was placed by public enterprises. In June 2021, the minister announced the Takatso consortium that would compromising of Heritage General Partners, a leading investor in African infrastructure and airports and the airline management firm. It was Global Airways was selected as the preferred strategic equity partner of SAA. Now, after the conclusion of the due diligence process, we were told that the purchase agreement was signed by all parties 22nd February 2022, and the transaction will be concluded subject to the satisfaction of all conditions of the sale have been met and regulatory approvals. Now, in 2021 financial year, that amount of 10.5 billion was allocated to SAA for the implementation of the business rescue plan by National Treasury. Due to this funding received, then the entity was able to submit its backdated outstanding annual financial statement. And that's where we are. The question I have, therefore, is that the 10.5 billion that was allocated to SAA, how much is left of it, if there's anything that is left of it, and what is it being used for? Secondly, the Takatso consortium, that issue of the transaction being concluded, I want to ask, and this was 22nd February to the acting DG of Public Enterprises, can you answer, madam, that when is this business rescue practitioners process going to be finalized to its entirety, meaning they keep the end of their bargain, meaning when they said they are going to invest and you would have agreed with them, you do the sale, you gave them 51% shareholders, and that made us to be a minority shareholder as government. I want to know, how come you signed that agreement and these people have not put the money? And right now they're still not putting the money. And we are told that the process is on. Where is the process of this? Now, Professor Lamola, on the same question, I want DG to answer that one. On the same question, and I wonder where's the DG of Public Enterprise. Perhaps, Chairperson, one day you can tell us, or the executive needs to tell us, where's the DG of Public Enterprises? What is happening? Anyway, I'm not there, but the question is set. Professor Lamola, when the business, with this Takatso consortium, does not come on board with what they've committed, I want to know what then becomes the implication. And I also want to also submit as a member of Parliament to say to yourself, what would it take and will SAA be able to survive without the business, the Dagazo Consortium? Can it survive? That's the question. Can it survive? And if it can survive, I want to put it up, Chairperson, to members of Parliament to consider the matter. If this Dagazo doesn't come to fruition, we take back the SAA back to government, and government continues. And that is the question that I have to Dr. Lamola, for him to tell us if government can still do and run SAA. We understand the issue of treasure. Exactly how much do you want from treasure? So that the committee can consider, really, even if it means in writing or in a report to Parliament, we're able to push Parliament, for Parliament to be able to push this executive to give treasury, to give money to SAA. Because we had said it initially that we are not going to hand over SAA to private sector for the sake of it. We feel that this is our national pride, and there is lots of market, there's lots of demand on this entity. So there is no way we are just going to fold our arms and allow private sector. And really, we have done it now. There is the Dagazo issue, and there is nothing that is happening from this Dagazo. And officials have a problem with that, because we did also say to Public Enterprise Acting DG, that Ms. Jackie, that why is it that you, executive, you never advertise this issue of having SCP that is progressive to say that can we open up this issue so people can come into the market and be able to say to you, yes, we are expressing interest to really take on this issue and invest in the SAA, and government still is the majority shareholder. That process, I never saw it. Where exactly, where do you take Dagazo, and how did you open the bid? And it's something that you still have to explain. Because I would have asked myself a question that says, are you saying the motives of this country might not have interest? I'm just making an example, but I'm just saying, are you saying there isn't any other progressive business? And that KPI was still also not achieved. Can we understand that? Your net profit, your target was 2.778 million, but the actuals ended up being 5.424 million. That KPI also too was not achieved. Can we understand why was that the case? The achievement of achieving consistent, efficient, effective operations. There are many other issues under there, including asset utilizations, hours per day, the wide body daily utilizations, the narrow body utilizations, the safety record, on-time performance. All of them were not achieved, including a percentage procurement spent locally. You had a target of 85% and only 64%. Was your actual was 64%. That was not achieved. and I want to understand exactly what was your reason. Let me go to the performance against shareholders compact. You had 37.8% achieved. That is 6 out of 16 targets that you achieved. 44.4% achieved. 8 out of 18 targets were achieved. Hence, your audit opinion was qualified. And this is where you are at that time. As we said, we understand there's many changes that happened, including the board, the changes, the interim. Lots of people were resigning. So we're not necessarily blaming the current board, the Professor Lamola. Don't think that we are blaming you. We can see what has been happening and many changes that has been happening, but we still have to have answers. Now, my issue is that the emphasis on matters that were highlighted by auditors. One was that restatement of corresponding figures. The corresponding figures as of at that time, 31st March 2017, were restated as a result of errors in the consolidated and separate financial statement of the SA Group and the year ended 31st March 2018. And the material impairment, material losses of 313 million were incurred as a result of the impairment of the cash neutrality advance to the South African Express Airways SOO Limited. So those are the issues that there was emphasis on the matters, including contingent liabilities, events after reporting period that were there. So I feel, Chair, and I think that what we need to really get from the board now and the current leadership, including PPE, the issues of internal control that were highlighted, matters of leadership instability needs to be addressed, acting DG of PPE. Inadequate policies and procedures needs to be addressed. The lack of decisive action taken to mitigate emerging risk, no proper record keeping, the inadequate oversight regarding compliance and related internal controls by the accounting authority and management. So I feel, please relate these matters to the minister, including the deputy minister, on these matters. As I conclude, Chairperson, although the business submitted it's an annual financial statement as a going concern, the auditor raised a concern about the entity's going concern status. This concern is raised by the fact that entity required the SEP to provide this 3 billion over a 3-year period to keep the entity financially sustainable. However, the SEP partner has not been finalized and this deal is not finalized. It raises serious concern about the future sustainability of the entity. Given this concern, I feel that the committee should get timelines from the Department of Public Enterprises as to when the strategic equity partner will be finalized and come on board. And if we don't have that answer, we want the timelines that says, when are you taking the entity back to government completely so. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Honorable Shabalala. I think you helped me because I'm worried about members coming to these meetings and forget about the other meetings. You know, the whole idea of meeting on a weekly basis at the portfolio committee, it helps members at least to understand the process periodically and be in a position to link the information they get today with the information they received yesterday or a week before, a month before, and even a year before. I think it's important for us to understand that. This financial statement is part of financial statements that are still outstanding. And I think we must appreciate when they are being presented here. You know, complying is very important. Let's not take complying as if it's a useless exercise. It's a legal process and it makes financial sense. It makes one's to account at the end of the day. Even if you take time to that account, but it's important to account. But it's important also to understand the situation where we're coming from with SAA. As a sixth administration, we inherited problems, including financial challenging facing most of our own state-owned entities, including liquidity challenges. We all know when we came here for the first time in 2019, these were the challenges that were facing us. Central to those problems of liquidity and so on, SAA was among the entities that were failing due to the financial situation confronted them to make presentation or to present their financial statement. I think we all know that state capture and all corruptions that were executed in the past damaged this problem. And the sixth parliament was starting to resolve that matter. The shareholder or the minister played a leading role in terms of trying to fix this problem, including putting proper governance structures that were not operating properly, removing those useless and corrupt individuals that were on other boards, including also appointing new executives in some of those state entities. It's important to understand that background when we confront with each and every process. Also, I think, having said that, it's important to also appreciate the presentation. Yes, it might be rushed because it's a statement that was supposed to be presented in 2018, but we still need all of those outstanding financial statements, not only SAA, the other also entities that own us at this portfolio committee, those financial statements. I can understand the frustration of discussing something that happened in 2017, 2019. Yes, it doesn't make sense. By the way, in 2018, we're not even there as this portfolio committee, most of us. I think if there is, there will be one or two people that were here. On the issue that Honorable Tshabalala is the alluded to, which is a process of handing SAA to the majority shareholder as the state only owned, as far as we are aware. But of course, they have not yet taken over. But the process cannot be forever. Khatatso, as the majority shareholder, won this bid. And it cannot take years for them to actually take over, so that we can understand that state-owned 49 and the majority shareholder is that particular company. Otherwise, this delay will feed to the rumors that were always in the media that actually Qatar don't have money to run this, including what Honorable Malinga was raising about some of the things that we are confronted by, on our daily performance by certain interest groups that perhaps could not make it there, you know. And now when this process is delaying for a long time and it's not being finalized, it feeds to those rumors. And we don't want as this portfolio to be contaminated into such kind of things. We would love to see this process being fast-tracked so that we can have our portion that will be looking, which is public money, public interest in SAA. We cannot be doing that while there is somebody who is standing aside on the road waiting for us as a state to smoothen everything for them so that when they take over, everything has been done for them. And I think even the Competition Commission, if it doesn't address that problem and frustrate that process, then it's really provoking us to an extreme level. We can't win that. We can't allow the limited resources of the taxpayers being used to give private owners of this entity free of charge or with a platter. I mean, that's not acceptable. The Department of Public Enterprise can't babysit them forever. It's like babysitting them until they grow up. We are busy, and while they will be the majority, and the Tina, CPC, CR7, every day, where are they when they are taking over this entity? If they don't have money to start running SAA, why? Because we are like starting SAA from fresh, and there will be a lot of challenges in this process. Now, are we going to do this thing, acting DG, forever for them, so that tomorrow when we resolve everything, they just go with a small say? No, that's unacceptable. Rather, if that's the case, we forget about them. SAA remain in our hands, and then we do what we think we can do to improve the situation. Thank you. Can you respond, SAA, the and everybody?
Sure. Jackie, do I go and cover all SAA specific questions, and then you can just cover all the DPE questions?
I can start with the DPE related questions, and then you can then come to the other issues. Thank you very much, members, honorable members. The first issue that I want to indicate is that I hear the level of frustration and the delay in terms of finalizing this transaction. I need to indicate that the challenge, it is not with Takatso Consortium. The challenge is that Takatso Consortium can only come in and take over the 51% shareholder once all the regulatory processes have been completed. That includes the current work that the Competition Commission is looking, because we've made a submission to the Competition Commission, and they will be finalizing that work. And after that, there's the Competition Tribunal, and this work is expected to be completed mid-November. However, we have indicated to the Competition Commission that we'd want to get these processes completed sooner rather than later, because we do not want further delay in terms of this matter. The other regulatory issues that needs to be addressed is around the Air Services Council that needs to be undertaken, and we expect that process to take a few months. So in terms of the time frame, in essence, we wanted at the very latest, it will be end of March. And only at the end of March, that is when all the regulatory approvals would have been secured to make sure that they've ticked all the boxes. Takatso, with all their willingness in the world, they cannot come in up until they get the green light from the regulatory authorities, be it the Competition Commission, the Tribunal, and the Air Service Council. So that is the timeline that I want to indicate. And before that happens, what I just need to underscore to the colleagues here is that until those conditions have been met, South African Airways is still 100% owned by government. So it is not, it's only after that approval have been sought that then the shareholding will shift from government being 100% to become a 49% shareholder. That is the issue that I just need to underscore with clear timeframes that the members have actually raised. On the issue of the challenges, the legal case that is before the courts that has been launched by Toto, it was one of the entities that expressed the expression of interest, and I need to indicate that they were given an opportunity to present their proposal, and we even had a one-on-one and an engagement with them to ascertain the business proposition and the business in terms of what it is that they want to undertake. And on the basis of that, it did not meet the criteria. The criteria was quite clear in terms of what government was looking for. It was a strategic fit, operational capability, the ability to raise funding, and also to make sure that the entity that is coming in has the necessary operational capability in order to take this entity forward. I just also need to indicate that this matter is before the courts, and it will be ventilated later in the month. And as a department, we have made our submissions, and let us wait for the outcome thereof at the end of this month to hear the merits on this. And I don't want to get into the merits of it because we are definitely defending this, and I will ask our advocate, who's also joining us here, to elaborate on that matter. So those are the key things that I just wanted to put on record, just to indicate. And just also to remind the honorable members that when we undertook this process, there were clear options that we were seized with. It was either we go the BR business rescue process, or we go through to liquidation. And having done our cost-benefit analysis, it was then came to the conclusion that it is much more prudent to go the BR process. And for us to be able to implement the BR plan, would need the 10.5 billion, so the 14 billion. And thus far, National Treasury has managed to transfer the 10.5 billion rands into the entity. And the balance that is required now, it is the 3.5 in order to deal with the unflown ticket liabilities and the concurrent creditors. That is the issue. That is the balance of the money that is needed to complete the implementation of a business plan. I need to indicate that this is it's a legal process, and it's an obligation on government that you cannot go away from. All the entities, they did indicate that in terms of any of their historical liabilities, they were not actually going to go into that. They didn't want to take any historic liabilities, and this is the prudent manner that we actually sought to have. In terms of, there was also a statement that indicated that National Treasury is pulling out of this transaction. I'm not aware of that statement. What I know is that this is a government process, and that is the balance of the money that is required. Secondly, there was also the point that was indicated to say that maybe the Takaso Consortium does not have the funding. I just need to indicate that the department did do a due diligence on this entity to check whether they do have the deep pockets or the financial ability to fund this entity. That was done. They do have the money. In fact, they want to get the process, they want to be an SEP and get this done sooner rather than later, but this is beyond their control. They cannot just impose themselves. They've got to follow through, make sure that all the CPs have been met, and only once those have been met and the regulatory hurdles have been overcome, that's the only time that they can come through. Unfortunately, that is how these deals are done, and that's how they are being managed. So those are the key issues that probably I just wanted to indicate that on our side, we also do want to make sure that this deal is actually finalized sooner rather than later, and make sure that it is not a drain for anybody else. In terms of the other issues, is probably the advocate can come in on, or I just wanted to also indicate that even with the issues of the internal issues, the historic internal issues, we all know what has happened with many of our SOCs around the capture, the internal controls and the leaderships and the leak and the damage that was done. And that is now common knowledge, as it has been documented in the Zondo Commission reports, and we are implementing the recommendations thereof. And I think as a department, we are also very keen to make sure that you know, the capture that happened and the damage that was done to the SOCs, all those should actually be held accountable. And we'd like to see them actually behind bars, if anything, because this has really cost the economy and government quite a lot of money, given the fact that we've invested quite a lot on these entities. And also to indicate that SAA is flying currently and is also looking at all the opportunities that are made available in this environment, and they are really not sitting on their laurels. So that matter is being addressed. So can I respectfully request that the advocate as well take the members through in terms of what is happening with the total investment, the litigation that is before us. But I just need to probably indicate that in terms of that matter, we will be defending it, and we are quite confident that given what they are asserting and what we have submitted, we just wait for the court to make that final determination, but we are quite confident of the outcome. Can I request Advocate Makoya to add, chair through you, Advocate?
Thank you very much, DG. ADG. So I'll just want to start by saying that when SAA was going through financial difficulties, there were really two options to deal with that issue. It's either the restructuring would have been done by the board, or it would have gone through a business rescue process. And a decision was made at that time to go through a business rescue process because, one, there is a protection that an entity gets under business rescue. Litigation cannot be initiated. But also importantly, that you will negotiate with creditors in terms of what is owed. Now, in terms of that process of business rescue, in terms of the law, you've got to provide what is called a post-commencement finance to make sure that the restructuring of that entity is done within the confines and within the protection of the business rescue process. Yes, Honorable Shabalala, it is quite an expensive process, and I do agree that we've got to look at the fees of the business rescue practitioners to make sure that they are in line with the regulations of the Republic of South Africa. But also importantly to say, once we got into the business rescue process, government had indicated that the fiscus is very constrained in terms of funding SAA going forward. Yes, the fiscus had put in a lot of money into SAA, and it would not have let SAA be liquidated like that. And we said now, because the Treasury is not able to put in the working capital, let us look for a strategic equity partner that will come and provide the necessary capital injection into SAA so that the taxpayers' money is not lost, so that it's not going into liquidation where all the assets, few of them, are sold on a fire sale and the money is given to the creditors. And the employees who have given their time, who have worked in SAA for quite a long time, to go out with nothing, as we have seen with SAA Express. So the beauty of really a strategic equity partner is that where government is constrained in terms of funding the state-owned enterprises, then you get a strategic equity partner to come in and put the working capital into SAA. The honorable members are saying this process is delaying. Why don't we just take over SAA as government? We will need working capital to be able to operate SAA going forward. And the fiscus is constrained and will not be able to give that working capital. And that's where Dagaso comes in. They are not just getting in for free. They are going to be putting $3 billion that they've committed in terms of the agreement into SAA, and also capitalize SAA going forward as and when it grows. Now, in terms of the process, as the acting DG has indicated, the matter is when you sign an agreement, subject to what is called in law condition precedence. So up until those conditions have been met, the deal cannot close. So we are waiting for the Competition Commission. We are waiting for the aviation authorities to be able to give us the necessary approvals. Once those approvals have been done, so the keys can be handed over, the 51% shareholding, and the keys can be given to Dagaso. But importantly, we will still be a minority shareholder with 49%. There are minority rights that we have negotiated in terms of the agreement for the fact that the entity will remain SAA, it will remain in South Africa, but also importantly that the developmental objectives of government will be realized through through SAA even going forward. Now, with regard to the litigation of Toto, Toto has launched an application of review of the process that we had followed in appointing Takatso. We have filed our papers in court. We think our prospects of success are good in that case because we have followed the process. We have followed the legal processes that we needed to follow when we appointed Takatso. The matters will be ventilated before the courts, and the South Africans will see that we have followed the proper processes. But they've also launched an urgent interdict where they're interdicting the implementation of the transaction. They want the court to interdict that no further steps must be taken in the transaction. We are also defending that urgent application that will be heard next week in the Cape Town High Court. On the basis that the matter has already been before the Competition Commission, that's what we are waiting. And once that process is finalized, then the deal can close and then Takatso can get their 51% shareholding. Thank you very much, DG and Chairperson, honorable members.
I'm still expecting others to respond. Is there any other one? Mr. Mtonto? You don't have anything to say?
No, there is a lot that has come from the honorable members. And if you give me an opportunity, I can go through the responses. Thank you.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. So the honorable member, Dlamini, you've indicated the point around the financial statements for the next 4 years that are outstanding. It is indeed the case. The context that was made or drawn by Honorable Member Shabalala, that the business went through a business rescue process and that process took 18 months. And the fact that the audit specifically for 2017-2018 had to be paused and it was only continued towards the end of 2021 has a reference as to why there has been a delay in concluding those 4 years. I'm happy to report is the fact that those financial statements have now been drawn up. The Auditor General is looking through them, through the audit process. As I indicated, that will be concluded in the next early next year, and the last quarter of the financial year 2022-2023. So that's a background as to why we find ourselves where we are. And Honorable Shabalala has gone into detail, and it is indeed correct, all of the points that she spoke to as to what led us to where we are. In terms of the question, Honorable Member, that you raised with regards to international routes, when are we going to be flying those? We are currently flying domestic, which is Durban, Cape Town. And we're flying 6 additional routes in the region, including Kinshasa, Accra, Lagos, Lusaka, Mauritius, Harare. There's a program that we, or the routes that we are looking to further increase as we go into December. And there is a program, and that program in terms of international routes, the target is sometime in financial year 2023-2024 that we foresee ourselves going into international. It's a matter of fleet. Currently, we're operating 6 aircraft with a 7th aircraft being the backup, and we need to deal with the issue. I think it bears relevance where a question arises as to say, what is the future of the airline? Indeed, the airline needs to acquire additional fleet. And obviously, also, as articulated, it does need a working capital. It does need a further capex in terms of modernization. All of those matters do require funding, and it's got a relevance on when we're introducing the international routes, which are part of our 23-24 financial year target. The presentation we're making today is indeed, as you said, Chair, it is what partly compliance that we have to fulfill, but the reason for the delay, it was matters as articulated, so that point has been covered. There's a question with regards to compliance with regards to various taxes. SAA is indeed compliant with regards to VAT, PAYE, UIF, workman's compensation. And if all of these issues went so, these things have a way of coming out. So it's compliance as far as we call concern as management, as in fact, the right words is to say we are compliant and stop there. With regards to the question that Honorable Member Isaac has asked, which I've answered now, two points within that list. The working capital that we are utilizing is part of the funding that was given during the business rescue, but also is part of the cash generation that we are making as we run operations. We often would disclose the details of those matters through a process like this, once an audit has been done. So when are we going to deal with more current in terms of numbers is obviously when these 4 years have been concluded and will appear before the committee and go into detail around those matters. You asked the question with regards to the Airlink and what the status of their claim issue. That matter went to court two times where SAA won, and it's a matter again that has been referred to court, so it's up to the care. I won't go more in terms of more details around it, and maybe Advocate Makobe can give more guidance around how we would handle an issue like that. Then the issue of the status of the Mango interested party to acquire Mango, that would only be clear once we get an application from the business rescue in the form of PFMA application, and then the process will be taken from there. It would certainly require approvals of DPE and National Treasury. So until we get that paperwork, that matter is still sits within the business rescue of Mango. Why did SAA get a special treatment with regards to how it handled the issues of retrenchment costs? I don't really have the details on what the basis for the question, but all I can say that any settlements that were reached by the business rescue practitioner, having negotiated with the trade unions representing SAA employees. I'm not in a position at this point to answer. If I can get a little bit more details, I can provide to the portfolio committee a clarity, maybe not necessarily in this today, but if I were to get more information. Honorable Member Mkhwanazi, the point is more perhaps shouldn't we be using this time to deal with a lot more current issues. And I think in part what DPE has done has given a clarity on a more, I think, more current and more pressing issue with regards to SEP, but I can deal with the specifics with your guidance, Chair, if there were specific issues that we need to talk into specifically. Then Honorable Member Malinga raised the issue of the internal audit, what is a SCP, what view is it on, or what is its view with regard to the status of internal audits, and perhaps one point that SCP is not on board yet, so it wouldn't have a view, or it hasn't expressed a view on the status of internal audit. But also, I think the other question that arises is around these audits for the 4 years that is in the process of being concluded. And again, they haven't expressed a view on those issues. Of course, as a part of concluding their process, they want these audits, of course, concluded as much as the portfolio committee has expressed in this regard. And then the other two issues you have covered, DG, and which were part of my honorable member Malinga's concerns. The question that arose was, what have we done with the various audit findings that have are in the audit report? Those audit findings are falling in a rather awkward and a difficult period where the audit auditors had to pull out because going concern couldn't be met, and there were issues of serious liquidity and solvency at the time. They had to pull out. They then continued not so long time ago to conclude their process. It does mean that the reports that they were generated are in the process of being followed up or just now. So there is and these issues are going back many years. It's going to take time to resolve, but they are being followed up as key issues, and are concerned about those issues. Then, Honourable Member Gumede, the points made with regards to, I think it can be best answered by DPE, because it was the one that says, out of all the airlines that the state has owned, at least one of them must keep up in the skies. And the DPE, perhaps you will come back on that point, but I think with the SEP solution, it is definitely a mitigation to that particular point. Then the proposed amendment to the Mango business rescue, which was highlighting the concern with regards to operating or working capital that was available as to whether it would sustain the airline. Wasn't it necessary that perhaps the SEP must be on board? And indeed, that took place, is confirmed, and then we are juxtaposing that particular point against the issues with regards to SAA, given that it has its own SEP, and it's something that DPE could perhaps come back on it. But the issue, yes, indeed, there was not enough operating working capital to demonstrate that Mango could sustain itself at that particular point. It was important that SEP must come on board. And I've indicated earlier that the SEP, its own Mango SEP process will be clear as the PFMA application process comes through, including going to DPE and the National Treasury. The aspect pertaining to whether or not there shouldn't be a cutoff with regards to submission of financial statements to the portfolio committee, I would leave that with you, Chair, but I think you have addressed it from a point of view that regardless, one needs to account and one needs to be compliant, hence the submission to today. The strong question raised is that what is an alternative way or plan or challenge that we seek alternative plan in the event that this process of the SEP isn't going through? DPE is best placed, but it suffices to say, as executives, the business would require, or the business requires, capital expenditure, requires refleeting, requires modernization, requires additional funding going forward, and it's an issue, and obviously it's an issue that the shareholder needs to look into, and a business needs to be sustained by the shareholder. The executive, of course, have to make sure that they put the plans that are profitable, that would ensure that the business does turn around. And then from a challenge point of view, it would be the funding in order to sustain the business going forward. My Honorable Gumede, which I'm continuing with these points, to what extent are the expertise still within SAA? What are the plans with regards to the point that in if the business does expand, that is able to tap into those expertise that it has created over the years. The assurance I can give is that we are operating a smaller fleet currently. The expertise we do have, the as we expand and as we expand quite a bit, the organization will embark on a process to attract the skills. We find ourselves in an environment where currently a lot of expertise that have come from FAA are out there. A lot of expertise that have come out of Mangwa are out there. A lot of expertise that have come out of Comair are out there. So we are, as a country, we are no short of the relevant expertise, and we'll tap on those as we go forward. Honorable Member Shabalala, you have painted a good chronology of how we have gotten ourselves in terms of process. And then you have asked a question as to the 10.5 billion and how the 10.5 billion was utilized. And the 10.5 billion, 3 billion of that was used to fund a voluntary severance packages, slash retrenchments, several issues of unpaid salaries that were in the system, employees that had not been paid, and that totals 3 billion. It was to pay post-commencement creditors of 600,000. It was to pay unflown ticket liabilities. By the time the business went into business rescue, a lot of passengers had paid for their tickets and they hadn't flown. And there has been a process of refunding those passengers, and that the amount 2.2 billion. There was a 2 billion that was left for working capital, which goes to clarify the point that the Honorable Member Isaac asked. And there was an additional 2.7 that was paid to subsidiaries, and that gives us the 10.5 billion. Inherent in the question is the whole business rescue fees, which Advocate Makobe touched on, and there were fees that were paid. Obviously, those fees will be subject of the current audit that is underway. The other questions, the other questions are more DPE questions, which I would believe that the issues about the consortium and about funding from National Treasury and would come from DPE. There were a number of issues that were raised by Honorable Shabalala about restatement of financial statements in going back 2015-2016, which are comparative financial statements to the 2016-2017, and issues of internal control, issues of going concern. In summing up those issues relate to a difficult time in the history of FAA, and those including the issue of KPIs and the underperformance relative to those KPIs. The business failed, so to speak. It completely failed. That's why it ended up in the business rescue. That's the only way one could explain why those are sitting the way they are sitting in terms of being reported. The emphasis is more putting in place processes for going forward and seeking to address those difficult historic issues. Perhaps DPE could also assist to give a different perspective on this, but one of the mitigations is certainly been the business rescue to mitigate the going concern. The business completely underperformed owing to a issues pertaining to employment costs, maintenance costs, lease costs, that were a challenge in the business, fuel, all of those factors that led to where the business was, why ended up performing. It would appear that there was always a lot more positive as a financial year was started, and they would set these targets that weren't met at all. I mean, if you look at the loss year on year, is more or less the same as the previous year, whereas a target was to achieve something in the region of over 2 billion. I will pause there, Chair. Thank you very much. And one point is that my CE, Mr. Professor Lamola, had to excuse himself, as you would recall, is going to Air Services Licensing Council. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Mfonto. Thank you to the department. Honorable members, we are in the tail end. I think I will only allow one or two people to have a quick follow-up question.
Yes, Chair, raise my hand, Shabalala.
I've also raised mine, Chair, Malinga.
I'm checking if there is a third one before I give to you, because I will close after if there is no hand yet. Okay, seemingly it's only two of you. Yeah, come, Honorable Malinga.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the responses, though not satisfactory, but at least they responded. Chairperson, my follow-up question is going to DPE. If maybe they can provide us with the timeline as to when will the SEP be finalized and come on board on SAA. Thank you very much, Chair.
Chair, can I come in?
Yeah, yes, come.
Okay, thank you, sir. Chair, like Malinga just said, we also appreciate the responses, and we understand from the officials what you're going through, but also understand where we're at. And it has nothing to do with us shooting the wrong person or anything. Our purpose here is to ensure that everybody who's meant to do their work, they do them. Our duty is to make sure that we get accountability, so that it's us who must be able to account to the ground, if not to the people, exactly what is happening. It's not yourselves, it's us that stands, and we are expected to explain to the South African citizens exactly what is happening. They want to hear from their public reps. So hence, we are asking these difficult questions. And it's not really out of frustrations. I won't even say we're frustrated. All we want accountability, and we want you to do the right thing. Having said that, I want to ask two questions. Takatso has not put any money yet. I hear this issue that you are saying about the court is fine, but Takatso has not put money. Let's talk about time frames, colleagues, like Malinga say. But I want to know, the deadlines on the agreement are breached already, and that's my understanding. Already Takatso has breached the agreement, because it's my understanding that part of the agreement was that they were supposed to come on board in this time frame. Already the agreement based on the deadlines is breached, not because there was a court order. That reason for me, I don't hear it. I hear you, but I don't hear it. And the fact that SAA and can still, even now, it's been run by government, it's still under yourselves, it then means to me SAA really can survive under government. But the question I have is that if the deal with Takatso, and you are keeping on saying to us the issue is not Takatso, the issue is the Competition Commission. But I want to know if the deal breaks, for argument's sake, with Takatso, will SAA be able to survive or manage? That's a question. And the reason I'm asking that is that we understand how business rescue practitioner came on, whether corruption and whatever that was happening, the operations and so forth. But I want to understand also from you, Ntate Makobe, that when you say that indeed you needed money for operations and so forth and so on, I want to understand the implication. If the Takatso deal does not come on board, or because already they've broken the timeline. So I want to understand from you, what is the implication, because we entered into, there was liquidation, and then there was the plan, the business rescue process. What would be the implication if we were to say, take back the SAA again? What would be the implication of that process, and what is the possibility really of seeing that process to come to fruition where we are? And I think I want to move, Chairperson, to you now, to the committee, that perhaps we must consider inviting the competition commission to come and account to us that why has it taken them so long for them to be in a position to do the, what do you call them, the regulatory framework? So I want, I'm moving that as a committee, we invite them. We don't let this reporting go the way it is going. We are not satisfied. So we need to hear, why is the Competition Commission taking so long, 3 years or whatever, to finalize the regulatory? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Honorable Shabalala. Can we get responses?
Chairperson, my hand was up.
No, your hand wasn't up. Your hand was in absent. Your hand was up later when already I closed the contribution. But because I'm a very person, I will give you.
Chairperson, thank you. I apologize. You are quite correct. I did put my hand up rather late. I apologize, but I am grateful for the opportunity. I'll be brief. I was covered by one or two issues from Honorable Shabalala. So I'll be very brief. I'll be very brief, Chairperson. I just wanted to check the issue regarding the near disaster fuel contamination on the flight from West Africa. Has the investigation been completed? Are we going to be getting a report on that? That's what I just wanted to check, Chairperson. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Honorable. Can we get the responses, Department and SA?
Chair, thank you very much. I think just for on our side to respond in terms of the timelines, the Competition Commission, I think I need to indicate to the committee members that we submitted in June. And we expecting them to finalize in terms of the determination by the end of mid-October. And as I indicated, it goes through to the competition tribunal. I need to indicate that on our side, we have been engaging with them. But I think what I need to underscore to the committee members that this is an independent process that they need to satisfy themselves in terms of fulfilling their own mandate. So that is the part that I just wanted to quickly indicate from our side. And the question was asked, if Takatso does not come through, what will happen? What are the implications? Chair, through you, then it means the deals falls through, and if government is not able to put any further money into SAA, then the option that we've all worked very hard to avert, which is liquidation, that will be the outcome in the absence of that. So I think in terms of where we at, it would be very important that we conclude this transaction and make sure that the balance of the transaction gets done and all the regulatory approvals are secured and the balance of the funding is done, and then Dakota comes on board and can then augment the current entity to become sustainable and financially viable going forward. So those are the issues that I just wanted to articulate and clarify, and thank the committee members for the questions asked.
Maybe DG, just to just address the issue that Honorable Shabalala had raised on the issue that Takatso has not met their obligations in terms of the agreement and that the agreement has been breached. I must indicate that an addendum to the agreement has been signed, so the agreement is quite active. It has not been breached. And it's really not because Takatso is not able to put in the working capital. It's really because of the Competition Commission issues. And we are cooperating with them. We are giving them information. But they view this as a large measure. So a large measure, they really take their time on it, but they are independent authorities. So we are not able to push them beyond what we are able to, but we've given them all the information. We are cooperating with them in that regard, and we are quite hopeful that they will make a decision as a matter of business. Thank you.
Chairperson, through you, please, Chair, I won't take long. I won't take even a minute, please, just for that answer. Please.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. You know, Chairperson, that Duma Kuba just answered. He says the Takatso has not breached any breaching. They have not done any breach. Duma Kuba, when you say to us that you have submitted an addendum to the your contract or your agreement, already you are answering the question. All I wanted you to confirm was that Takatso has not put any money yet, and that was part of the agreement. And the deadlines on the agreement then means it's breached. So when you say you've done addendum because of that, does it mean you were correcting that now? That's, you know, answer factual, please.
Yes, we were correcting that, Honorable Member, to make sure that it does not result in the breach of the agreement. Because in law, if the agreement is going to be breached and you need more time, then you put in the addendum. So we're preventing that breach of the agreement.
Can I just also respond to the Honorable Member in terms of Takatso being able to put money in any transaction? The money will not flow up until it gets the green light. That's how it works, unfortunately. Once all the CPs have been met, and then it means that it has the tick from all the regulatory approvals, and there's an exchange of ownership. Because in the event, I'm just making an example here, there is no way that you can put your money when you don't know whether, in fact, you're going to be an owner of a particular asset. So once there's that ownership, the change of ownership, that's when also the change of money will take place. So we do expect the flow of money immediately when all the CPs have been met. So that is what we're trying to push and make sure that it happens sooner rather than later. Thank you.
Chair, through you again, please give us the agreement, the initial agreement through the chairperson, please. Finish. Thanks.
I'm avoiding some kind of an argument like, but I'm giving you for the last time, Jackie.
In terms of this particular agreement, because it's an agreement between ourselves and the other party, in terms of the legality, can probably the advocate assist me in terms of how do we deal with these issues, because this is one of the issues that we are dealing with, even with the total matter, as per the counsel that we received. Can you assist in terms of this one?
Advocate.
Advocate Makome.
Yeah, Honorable Chairperson, the agreement is subject to a confidentiality regime in law, so we've got to consult with Takato and get the necessary consent for us to be able to disclose the agreement. So maybe we can talk after the meeting and see what approvals we needed, because there is a confidentiality clause in the agreement. And even with the litigation of Toto, we have given it to them under what in law is called a confidentiality regime, which is restricted to the lawyers and advisors. But we will take legal advice on that and come back to the committee so that we don't breach that confidentiality undertaking that we have made in terms of the agreement.
Okay. We noted that perhaps when we meet again, you will be able to determine whether the advice, the legal advice you get, allows us to get that particular information. Okay. Honorable members, I think we reach the end of our today's session. Thank you for your vibrant...
Chairperson, Chabalala here, Chairperson. Chairperson, can I propose and request from your good self that yes, you can release the officials of SAA, but as a committee, we stay behind. So I would want to move for the issue of the program, the looking into the program during recess and oversight. I'm requesting, Chair. Thank you.
What we always do. Thank you so much, the department and SAA, for your input and the presentation you have made and the manner in which you answered our questions. We really appreciate always to have that interaction with you as the member of this portfolio committee. Sometimes when we raise this question, we are not motivated with the negativity, or perhaps with an intention to undermine the process you are involved in. We appreciate your involvement on these issues. We know for a fact that you do it out of your clear conscience. Therefore, the intention necessarily is to seek more clarity and more knowledge so that we also be in a position to be confident when we are in a position to defend or present ourselves as the members of this portfolio committee to where we're also accountable. Because we are not only accountable in this committee is accountable somewhere, and we have to be clear in terms of what and how the processes are. Therefore, with those few words, thank you so much for being patient and our questions. You are now released.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the honorable members. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Portfolio committee members, we are not going to have minutes as per our normal situation because the secretary is still on leave. And Sistele could not be in a position to supply the minutes in time with all the members. I hope next week we'll be in a position to adopt a number of our minutes that, of the previous sessions. Therefore, please bear with us because the Mr. is just standing. It's not a permanent secretary of this committee, and I am also trying to protect so that we don't put under unnecessary duress here. Let's go to the proposal that has been made by Honorable Shabalala. Can you come in?
Thank you so much, Chair. Let me start with this one. I'm not too sure if
Can you hold
Chair? Okay.
I'm seeing Honorable Malinga's hand. Is it a legal hand or a hand?
My apologies, Chair. Yes, it is a legacy hand.
Okay, thank you. Okay, continue, Honorable Shabalala.
Thanks, Chair. I don't know if this came to your desk. I'm just trying to maybe remind you if you're not aware. The colleagues at Minerals, remember the Eskom matter and the oversight that we undertook to Quebec. And our last meeting, when we had a joint meeting, they had, we had requested that Eskom submit questions. Responses to questions in writing, primarily on issues that were raised in Quebec, including NUMSA and so forth. And it was our understanding that, Chair, by the law, we needed to adopt as a committee the report, so that report is tabled to Parliament before we could rise. So I understood when the other colleagues were reaching out on Minerals to say that on Tuesday the 27th, they were proposing that we have that type of a joint meeting to be able to adopt that issue, the oversight. That's the first one, Chair. The second one is that aligning also to that, I want to propose to committee members that we look into going to the head offices of Eskom during recess, if not first week of October. I'm just proposing, if you can look into that we have a meeting, a whole day session with Eskom to deal with these issues, be it matters that we are seeing on this continuous load shedding, and making also follow-ups and interacting with those written responses that they would have provided. So that's the second proposal. The third one, Chair, is that I want to move strongly that we look into our program and try to see if we can slot in a study tour that will be able to look into SOEs in other countries where the front SOEs correctly, be it in China, perhaps two countries. We look into how they were able to sustain the SOEs. Secondly, also look into the energy matters, where they've been able to really run energy issues sufficiently. So I think this will assist us as the committee as well to enrich our understanding, and for us to be able to come back to Parliament and give recommendations also on other matters that we think that the executive should be in a position to look at on these issues of energy. But the SOEs, I think it's an important thing. So I'm moving to committee for your consideration that the committee section look into that. Our next meeting, they come and present a paper in those countries that they would have looked at, because they do have the contact advisor and the researcher to be able to advise us. And if that can be done the next meeting, so that if possible, before the end of this year, we are able to undertake such a tour. Thank you so much, Chairperson. I submit.
Seconded, Chair.
Is the chairman still here, Comrade Kaya?
Oh, sorry, I was talking outside. Gosh, I've almost finished talking, but I forgot to unmute myself. I'm saying I understand Tisang is here because he's hosting, despite that he's on leave. I would like him to come in on those issues, because I've given him a go-ahead in relation to the one of the minerals and energy, that we must have that meeting on the 27th if they all available. Secondly, on the matter you alluded to of the international tour or trip to other countries that we might find similarities, or perhaps we might learn from their own historical situation or to their own experience in relation to the state-owned entities. We presented that already, that the request as early this year. We are still expecting the Parliament to respond to us. I think the SAM will be in a clear position to brief the committee in relation to all those things quickly. Can you do that, Tisang? Is it not Tisang, or perhaps it's just a picture of him, because I saw this, the host of the portfolio committee. Kale, is not Tisang?
No, it's me, sir.
Oh, you love Tisang, just then that you put his profile there. Okay. No, it's fine. Then let me get perhaps in the next session. I'll be in a position to brief in detail. By that time, Tisang will be giving me. But in relation to the 27th meeting, I think that meeting, I've given a go ahead in relation to that proposed meeting by the Department of Mineral and Energy. I mean, by the Portfolio Committee on Mineral and Energy, that joint meeting was. That is very important. In fact, it can clarify a lot of issues that are in the public and that are confusing in relation to that that the oversight work we did. Also, the necessity to complete in the form of having a report around those issues. There are other issues that we put to ESCOM. And ESCOM is expected to respond on those things as a matter of yesterday. Now, in the light of that Tisang is not here, Honorable Shabalala, I will suggest that we give a report in the next sitting of the Portfolio Committee at the tail end of the session. And then as to what is the state of all those requests we have made in terms of oversight. I agree that we can do, I mean, it's necessary, or if it's not urgent, for us to have a trip to some of these power stations. Despite that, we were in Metupi, we were in Kusile, who are new, by the way, power station. We have been told about commissioning. We have not been told to how long a power station or a unit is being commissioned. You know, we need to know that, because we can't be getting the same answer without the deadlines and so on. Because as long as Metupi and Kusile are not operating in their full capacity, we won't stop having this problem. And I was informed that, I think we were all informed that there is a unit in Quebec. And that unit, according to those workers over there, is key. It's about 900 megawatts. It means if that unit, and that unit has been postponed, and the SWAT workers, the actual members of NUM, are raising sharply that the ESCOM executive is actually not prioritizing the fixing of that unit. And fixing that unit, if that unit can operate, we will have enough electricity to operate. And I think we need not to ignore that particular. If ESCOM is not doing anything wrong, it must come so that we know what informs the non prioritizing of that particular unit, you know. Perhaps that meeting, that's why it's very important, honorable members. If that's all, honorable members, I will suggest that we adjourn, unless somebody wants to say something in relation to what I just said.
No, Chair, we agree with you fully in your summary, Chair. We trust you that you will give us the reports next week accordingly. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you. Senior members, the meeting is adjourned.
Yes. Long live the Chair.